Hey, are you bothered?
Oh, please don't even.
You frazzled?
Don't be a moron.
It's Monday, so get your thoughts together and mouth off.
Do it!
Call or text DC and J. Ross right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, or text 44-1140 and mouth off.
We go starting the 4 o'clock hour here. Jason Ross,
don't
Doug
be
Christie.
Scared. Don't
leading
be scared.
Up to A's baseball. A is an angel. Shohei Ohtani pitching today and hitting. Doing it all. That's coming up at 6. Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. All right, DC, a week from Thursday is the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, as we speak, the Sacramento Kings are selected to pick 9th. And barring any movement, we're going to kind of go off that premise over the next couple of shows and pick a player a day.
Okay.
That we look at, that we chronicle, say, here's what we like, here's what we don't like, those kind of things. Could they be a king? And the first player we landed on today is a guy that I looked at some mock drafts today. He's after the Kings, but doesn't mean, you know, hey, it's to each their own. Could he be a guy that Sacramento's interested in? So today's player profile is on Josh Giddey, who is just 18.
He's a boomer.
He's Australian, yeah, playing for Team USA or Team Australia. So he's getting some Olympic experience as well. I like that. Kind of labeled, I don't even know. We know it's a present-day positionless basketball, but is he a one?
Point guard?
Yeah, say point
that's,
guard
that's
at 6'8".
How they got him listed, 6'8", 205.
And he's big as far as the height, 6'8". I don't look.
I have to see if he's 6'8".
Like he has long arms. It didn't
no,
look like
he actually,
arms.
that is a check
a
on the bad side.
Okay.
So he's 6'8".
He's
6'8", and his arm span is also 6'8".
Okay, so that's below what most.
So I'm 6'6", 6'7", and I'm sure that it's not that.
Yeah.
it's longer, which is something that you want. I look at shoulders. We've talked about this. Shoulders, different things, hands, all that type of stuff. You like some of those things to be above the status quo. And normally, if your wingspan is the same as your height, that's not like extra.
Yeah.
Very crafty player.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say I think a lot of people are squinting. And when they're squinting, who do you think they see?
I think I know what they want to see.
That's the squinting part.
They want to see Luka.
Yeah.
I don't see Luka.
I think that on this one, if you squint and you see Luka and you swing for Luka, the question marks that we had about Luka may come up on him. Meaning, like, is he too slow? Is he going to be able to get separation? Can he get his shot off? Will his shot translate? Can he play defense? Like, can he handle against pressure? All those different things. Like, the kid, you can see the talent. He's got some talent. Shot is slow to get off and release, and it's not necessary. But all that can be corrected. Like, Luka learned how to be, which I think is the next part of basketball that's going to take a jump, is efficiency of motion. So when Luka makes a move, instead of making a move and he goes down to make the move and then come up to pause and then goes again, while he's down there, he stays down there and changes direction while he's down there. Thus, he takes up space quickly. And this kid, 6'8", 205. How big is Luka, Chris? He's 6'8", what?
3'4".
I shouldn't have done that.
You shouldn't have done that.
It tickled me, though. He's 6'8".
3'4".
250?
Yeah, and uses that in a way where, if you were defending him, right? Like he where's Doug? Like he wants you on his left hip, his right. Like he wants the contact to dictate it under his terms.
Yes, and he uses his backside really well. So
big
I don't
part of his game.
Cut it out.
Beep,
okay.
Beep. Okay, sorry.
You guys, come on now. For him, I don't see those things. Can he improve? I don't see the necessarily playmaking, and this isn't like a down Josh Giddey, because I think that he could be a player in the NBA, and I definitely see the talent, because you got to think, also, he's only 18 years old.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, he may have a growth spurt, you get that grown man strength, like, things can change. The one thing that I like is he has a basketball IQ.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, you're kind of doing the squinting thing, you say, like, and I hate to do the comparisons, but when Tyrese came in. Like, the first game, it took one game, one quarter, you go, gosh,
yeah.
Instinct. Like, right. He just understands the game. And there were times like, oh, we wondered about the jump shot. Well, he makes it. It's efficient. He gets it off in his way. So,
but he sets up, and this is so that we compare. He sets everything up because Tyrese has athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't depend upon it.
Correct.
When he needs it, he can call on it. Luka's similar.
Yeah.
Luka's not going to play above the rim. But every once in a while, he drives and he knows, I got to go strong enough to dunk this. He has that. This kid is, he can, but he doesn't have it like those two guys got.
And Luka can even do it in the skill set of his ball handling. Like, he one hard dribble gets a guy to move, and then a quick pullback. And it's like, ooh, he just shook that guy. And it's, Luka's not super fast, but that was so good and so good with his handles that he just stepped back and gets his jumper. I like his size, like his overall frame. I mean, 6'8", and you know, like you said, Doug, he may grow more.
Yeah.
Passing ability, I mean, I think he's going to pass people open. He would fit. Mm-hmm. Looks like he could play the NBA game as far as pick and roll. Like, he would play in that and adjust and, I think, read that well. I don't see a refined shot. I don't know if it's.
No.
I don't know that I go, oh, it's awful, but it's got to get better. You said slow. Like, again, we're nitpicking, but that's what you have to do if you're picking ninth or anywhere you're picking.
This was a question about Tyrese Haliburton. It was a slow shot. Will it translate? Well, the thing with Tyrese is on his shot fake, he's already reading to get out of it, to drive, to pass, to do things. So now you have to calculate when you're closing out to him, which slows you down, allows him to get his shot off, and he was able to do that. Can Josh Giddey ultimately get to something like that? It's possible, because I also think that Luka has evolved. Like, all of the stuff that we see Luka, he didn't have that when he played over there. He had a lot of it, but really the understanding how to create space, take advantage of space, stay locked and loaded while you're doing it, as opposed to guys who have athleticism like a Kevin Durant that is more slow, and then he'll gain position and he'll lose it on purpose because he's wanting to use his length and athleticism. Luka doesn't do that. It's more do, as opposed of, you know, those long, slow movements. This kid has something.
Yeah.
How will it translate to the league is more of a question than I think Luka was a question. And Luka was a question.
Yeah, and I would say it this way too, though, and you know this, everybody raves about Rico Hines, right? Player development.
Yes.
To me, he's a player development guy. Giddey, you would get, and you would hope, not even hope, that you think you've got something, but all the things you just said he can maybe get to, it may not be happening in year one, may not be happening in year two. He's a guy that you have to feel good about your player development staff and him willing to work, and I think you might get a nice player over time.
This is where, in many times when you and I talk about the players, I always tell you, I need to see them. This is where you need a basketball whisperer. You need somebody, because when you...
Different than video, you mean?
Yes. Like, okay, the video will intrigue me.
Yep.
But now I need to solidify, like, can I help them? Can we fix them? Can we give them the little something extra? Do they have the work ethic? How did they do in the psychological test? Those. But when you watch them, you'll know if they got a vibe for the NBA game. That's why you either needed to play it, be around it. You got to have a vibe for what's going to translate. Can you be wrong sometimes? Absolutely. But for the Kings, depending on what Monty McNair wants, we've seen, in my opinion, what Monty McNair covets. I think that he covets length, athleticism, defensive ability, a little bit of edge, and IQ with the skill set. Like, that's a The package, if we watch all the players that he's brought in, starting with Tyrese, who, however you want to look at it, he fell to us, whatever.
They took
Still,
him.
He took him. He didn't have to send his name in. He could have picked somebody else, right? He did. So there's one. Then you look at Mo Harkless.
The trade deadline guys.
All those guys that he brought in. Even Chimezie Metu.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as I'm like, man, I like him. Okay, I could see that. Like, all those guys kind of play along that path. And if that's where Monty's going, I like so far the players that I'm seeing him covet.
And on that kind of template of guys he covets, I think Giddey covers some.
He does.
Not
Maybe
all.
Not the athleticism.
Right.
I think the IQ, the size.
I didn't see toughness, but I also didn't go lack of toughness. I need that's one I need to see him play in person a little bit more.
He's playing with Joe Ingles. I'm going to say he's kind of got a little toughness in him.
Yeah, but I didn't see anything on video that went, wow, toughest guy I've ever seen to
how about
or
that?
Not.
Could he turn it like, could you be that?
That'd be nice.
That would be damn nice.
That'd be nice.
I'm a fan of Joe Ingles. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he's chafy a little bit. He'll cause a little. He tries on the defensive end, straight spreads the floor, can knock down a shot. Like if he can turn his shot, meaning Josh Giddey, into a consistent enough 36% to 40% someplace. Like if you could do that, now you learn how to use your pump fake because Joe's not fast.
Right.
I'd go to say that this kid's faster than Joe.
Yeah, and so. It's using it, you know, Mike Bibby, start and stops, change of pace, change of direction. Mike got to a spot, and then you couldn't stop him.
Right.
So, but
did
I
you
see,
just say Mike wasn't fast?
Yeah.
Mike listens.
Mike's the fastest guy that ever played the team before. I see a guy, though, that can create for others. I want to see him create for himself a little more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, again, 18, development, getting comfortable.
See, that's the difference. Like when I look at a Tyrese, he can do both at a high level.
And sometimes we want him to do more of one, but you know he can do it.
Now, this is the other thing. Like we look at Fox. Fox can create for himself, meaning I don't need anybody around me. I can create for myself. Tyrese isn't that. He's bring me a screen.
Right.
I'll create
and then
an advantage.
I'll find it.
And I'll find it.
Yeah.
And
Fox
or
is an advantage on his own.
Is he's in and that's
I'll get by the first guy.
And that's one of the reasons that don't mess with him.
Yeah.
Leave him.
Or
because
both
that's
of them.
That's in the NBA, like go through the teams and find people that can do that.
Consistently.
You got one.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah.
Huh? It leans right back to Fox. Cut it out, man.
And then defensively, I don't know. You can always learn that, but I didn't go, wow, they got a stopper if they took Giddey.
No.
Yeah.
If you're slow of all those other things, which I will say, Joe Ingles is a really good defender.
Yeah, he's figured that out.
Positioning, toughness,
he's a pest.
Being an offensive defensive player as opposed to a reactionary defensive player. I need offensive defensive players.
Yeah.
That's me.
So there's our first of our NBA draft player profiles looking at potential guys for the Kings. Josh Giddey.
Giddey!
6'7", 6'8", we said. Australia, 18 years old. Watch him in the Olympics, too. That's another spot to see how he performs there. But we'll have one a day leading you up
keeps the doctor away.
To the draft. Hey. Where's my apple? All right, we'll take the break here. We'll talk more about the weekend odds and ends, including some disturbing things happening at baseball parks over the weekend. That when we come back here on KHDK. Hey, everybody be safe out there. We're getting word that fire nearby here.
Yes, American River Parkway.
Yeah, on the trail. Yeah, there's been several here, and it's not far. And I know near.
It's hot, man.
Hot, and it's just, you know, we've had this happen here locally, but other spots and awful fires here over the last couple of years.
I was going to say over the last couple of years, we've had fires.
Yeah.
So,
be safe.
Everybody, please be safe out there.
And to the people working to protect and do that, like.
Well, we love you.
Think about how hot it is for just if you go step outside and you're working and you're in the gear and man, I know it's your job, but still,
that's a serious thing.
Yeah.
Exhaustion, putting their lives on the line.
Thank you for all
to keep everybody safe.
Yep. We got NBA Finals conversation coming your way at the bottom of the hour, but DC, some baseball over the weekend, a couple different things just from parks in general. There was that shooting outside the Nationals park on Saturday night.
Wow.
Scary.
Yes, you've seen the crowds, people getting under stuff, people running out.
Players getting their family to run in the dugout.
To the, I mean, you don't know. I didn't hear it, but from my understanding, they like timed it up when somebody he was throwing a pitch or like – wow, that's scary stuff, especially with all the different things that we've seen over the last 24 months or whatever. And they had a game, was it today or yesterday? They upped the security, all the different things to try to make sure that people felt secure enough, first of all, to come out to the game.
Yeah.
And then for the game, because the players are on the field and your family's in the
you're
stands.
You
have no
that.
Idea. So the last thing that you're thinking now is baseball. You're thinking about my loved ones and trying
where
to make sure that they're safe. Some guys, I'm sure they got their kids there with their wife and their mom and their dad, and just, yeah, it could be scary.
I saw some stadium shots of it, and you could tell the different levels of, I want to almost say confusion, mm-hmm. because I got to believe if I'm at that game and you hear the sound, you're like, wait.
Was that a
gunshot? And then you see people running. Wait, that's a gunshot.
Yeah.
To others, like, nah, that, you know, was that a car backfire? What was that noise?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the fact that you don't see anything. I mean, it's not like there was a, for lack of a better term, a gunman, a person with a gun on the field or in the stands, but really close, and you don't know where it is. You don't know where to go. Like, is it better to get under my seat, to leave the stadium? Where do I go? And right. So it's just confusion.
Yeah, when you don't know
what you're dealing with,
where the shooter is, are they in the stadium?
Right.
Is it outside? First of all, you think it's in the stadium because you hear panic inside
enough,
the stadium,
right.
That you're thinking, where is it? What's going on? And I can't even imagine. That would just freak you out, man, especially when you have your loved ones. Now, if they're at home, you're still going to be freaked out. But the point is, at least you know that they're in a safe place. That was
then you worry about yourself, your
teammates. I want to say baseball, the fans, you worried about people getting trampled,
sure.
Just turning into opportunistic people who looting, like it turning into something that it doesn't need to be.
And also, this is a week after that, those arrests
in Denver. Colorado, yeah,
like that's
where there was a major threat potentially to the All-Star game,
which is something that almost everyone knows about, but no one really talked about
That's
after
true.
It happened.
Ugh. Yeah, that was scary. And I got to believe there was a scenario where someone was separated. Like maybe you and I went to the game together and you're at the snack bar
mm-hmm.
and,
yeah.
or the bathroom. It's like,
right.
Is he close to it? Or where do I go? Do I leave? Yeah. To, like, you know, or
and
if
once,
a family member, you know?
The tough thing is once people start freaking out and screaming and running,
yeah.
you just don't know. You kind of lose everything.
Right.
You got to stay, try to stay calm, especially as you say, if you're with your family, maybe the kids just went to the bathroom and now you're
separated from
them. Like, oh my.
I got to get to them, but are they close to it? Should I go that way? Should I call? Like, yeah, that's, man. Yeah,
I can't imagine. That's why in many times, those are things that you work out with your kids.
Yeah.
If something like this happens,
yeah.
Where do you go? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
That's big time.
Yeah. Also, you know, there are still knuckleheads in every park, too. The Yankees fan that was banned for life after throwing the ball at Alex Verdugo of the Red Sox. Get it. It's a rivalry, but come on now.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Something really stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And good for your Yankees to ban them.
Yeah. And it's every park now, too.
Yeah.
But I always wondered about that. Like, could that guy show up in is there a picture of him? You know what I mean?
Yeah. In today, with facial recognition, all the different cameras and stuff that they got going, I guess it's probably possible. Could you work out a way and figure out a way to get in? Yeah, but you're not going to be able to live your best life once you're in there because you can't really cheer and get loose. You blew an opportunity to come cheer your team on and enjoy the game the way you wanted to, but you're a knucklehead, so...
Also, I would never throw a baseball at somebody, but Verdugo is probably the last person.
Looked like he wanted to go.
Oh, no doubt.
And I don't know if he knew exactly who it was. It looked like he was ready to take on the section. Like, let's go.
I said this to you and Chris, I'm actually surprised that this hasn't happened, like, on a really important part. Like, that
Game 7 World Series.
Yeah, here it is. And then somebody throws something at him. Like, that's... That's where, man, in all likeness, like the fans have really been good.
Mm-hmm.
They're
we'll go to the game to watch and enjoy.
They haven't been good. They just haven't been bad.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
You don't get congratulated for not throwing something on the field.
Those moments, the moments have lived and breathed, my friend. Yeah, you got to be careful. Remember Mad Max? When he played, was he with the Kings?
He was here, but not then. I think he was with
Houston.
Houston when he went up. Was that in Portland or in Utah? I don't know. He went up into the stands.
He went up into the stands. Like, listen, do it at your own thought process and what you're. But you run up to the wrong person and you say the wrong thing. You catch him on the wrong day. That's just, it's not wise, man. Enjoy the game. Actually, I enjoy hearing the fans yell and all that.
Yeah.
I'd never really had a problem with that. Get at it. Let's get
but
at
there
it.
There is a line.
Yeah. Throwing the ball at someone, you could say, you are trying to hurt him. You may not hit him. You may hit him right in the head. You may three bouncer that never even touched. That's not the point.
It's not. Like, what was in you that said, I'm going to bean him?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what if you'd actually hit him and really messed him up?
Right.
What a ding dong.
Okay, so I've got a suggestion for the guy to earn his way back to going to games. What if they came to an agreement that Verdugo gets a free shot on him? It's like, okay, you come back to the games, but he gets a free shot at you.
He would turn it down.
He ain't coming back to the games. You know why? Because a free shot on him, he ain't coming back to the games. You mean a free shot like
he'll be?
What's he get to do to him?
So
punch him?
No.
He throw
has
a ball.
Verdugo goes to the stands. He's got a baseball. The guy has to stand where Verdugo was.
No. Verdugo's going to hit him.
He's not signing up for
that. Guy has a crappy arm.
Yeah.
He missed him.
He's not signing up for that.
No, he's
not. I'll take the ban for life.
Yeah.
But, man, that was just unfortunate. Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Super Bowl champs, are going to be visiting the White House tomorrow.
Okay.
Also,
champs in the house.
Omri Caspi, two-time king, retired from basketball over the weekend.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Omri had a nice career.
Yeah, he did.
I mean,
he did. I think the first player ever from Israel, is that correct? Mm-hmm. I believe. Or maybe not.
Yeah.
It was the first player and drafted.
Right.
I think it's all of that. Like, he's in the record books for that.
Great guy, likable guy.
Yes.
Good run. I mean,
no doubt.
You know? Yeah, had a career.
He had a shootout with Clay one night.
He did.
You remember that?
Yeah, or Steph, I think.
Was it? Okay. Yeah, maybe.
It was Steph.
Steph and Clay.
Crazy.
He
night.
Was shooting, he was letting it fly.
Yeah.
I never did that.
What do you mean?
Like that. Like officially, like it's in the books.
Oh, so you're saying there's a chance.
No, I'm not.
You're not done. The Doug Christie comeback trail begins now.
We'll
start training you, get you ready for the season.
I just need to know what the fee is.
I see you're talking about money. Where's the commitment? Where's the love of the game?
I love it.
If you pay me well.
No, I know what I'm going to have to do.
If you had, whatever, the rest of the time now till October.
Nope.
Could you impress in camp?
For one 24-second shot clock.
Defensively or offensively?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Run a nice pick and roll, pass and cut. I'm going to get a layup. Someone comes over to block it. I'm going to quality jump stop with a pump fake, take their legs out, go into the free throw line.
If Drew Holiday threw you that lob, are you finishing that?
I'm in traction right now.
count it.
I've got legs up in the air, all white, stiff.
How are you doing, Jason? Did the basket go?
Did it go in? Doug, you didn't even get off the ground, buddy.
I know. I was setting it like a volleyball player. I figured I had the touch. Oh.
Yeah, that would be a thing.
All right. Well, we don't want you in traction.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But we're trying to get you paid.
There has to be another way.
All right. When we come back, we will get into those NBA finals. The last two games have been absolutely awesome. What's been the difference in this series? How good are these two teams historically? And does it end tomorrow? Or do we get that seventh game that a lot of people want? We will discuss all that. Talk about the NBA finals. That is next here on KHDK.
What a rookie season for Tyrese Halliburton. Freshly named to the first team all-rookie team.
Halliburton, the rookie, wide open. The rookie delivers the triple.
Here's Halliburton straight away now for the Kings. Drives left side of the paint. Teardrop runner. So poised. So smooth. Tyrese Halliburton.
We can't wait to see what year two has in store. Congrats, Tyrese, on a tremendous first year.
Halliburton sidesteps the defender. Launches from the left. He rattles down the three.
Here's to many more great years ahead.
A child's body temperature rises 3 to 5 times faster than an adult's, and leaving a child in a hot vehicle can lead to their death very quickly. Tragically, in 2020, 24 children died of pediatric vehicular heat stroke, and many of these incidents occurred when parents or caregivers.
It's baseball coming up later tonight. Shohei Ohtani on the mound tonight for the Angels against the A's. Still to come the crossover. Five on it to begin the next hour. But, DC, let's jump into the NBA Finals. It's been fun. It's been a really good series. Been entertaining. I think we've had some great moments. And I'm not ready for it to end. It could tomorrow night if Milwaukee wins on their home floor. What's the biggest reason in your mind this has flipped from 2-0 Phoenix to now 3-2 Milwaukee?
I'm going to give Coach Bud some credit on adjustments.
It's a couple times he's done this.
He has.
Why do they have to start so slowly, by the way, then? Because they've kind of done this.
I would
this.
Say he's also learned because he started slowly before and got sent home.
Yeah.
This particular time, and we may be giving him credit that he doesn't deserve, meaning I don't know. Giannis may have, because I've seen him a couple of times, very demonstrative, like, give me the ball, like, let me do it. He doesn't strike me as a selfish player at all, but two adjustments that I've seen that have been the biggest. One is the ability to, how about this? Might have heard it here before. How about we pick people up 94 feet? Okay. Picking Chris Paul up and making him dribble the basketball, change direction, and use his energy. Then the ability to take the ball out of Giannis's hands in situations that are late. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday making plays. That does not mean that Giannis isn't making the plays, but he becomes the screener. He becomes the back picker. He becomes the guy who you still have to make sure you take care of, which opens it up for Middleton, which opens it up for Drew Holiday. And those guys have really been stepping up big. Pat Connaughton has knocked down some big shots, really kept them alive. But those are two biggest things for me is Giannis's ability to finally adapt, use his teammates, whether that's Coach Bud or Giannis, and Drew Holiday's defensive prowess, not only versus Chris Paul, but also versus Devin Booker as well. I thought that they've adapted and let Devin Booker kind of go for a number and slow other people down. That's a thing, too.
That's what we talked after the game, or we talked yesterday, and I wanted to bring that
yesterday?
Up to you. Yeah, we talked yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's the one I don't know what the answer would be if I'm Phoenix, because there's no doubt Devin Booker is their best offensive choice.
Yes.
I would run things through him. That's who you go to. He's their best scorer. He goes for 40. And again, has the ball in the last 30 seconds potentially to win the game.
Right.
But as I watch the last couple games, and again, I still think they're doing this the right way. They're going to set multiple screens to get someone they want on him, and usually it ends up being Connaughton. And when it's Connaughton, he's going.
Uh-huh.
Half the time he scores, half the time he doesn't, but he's going. And I saw a stat today, he has 0 fourth quarter assists. The one he would have had was the lob that Giannis denied at the rim to Ayton. Mm-hmm. He's not shooting too much. He is there. So I guess my question is, I thought their first quarter yesterday or Saturday was unreal, and it was Booker, but there's Crowder, I think, had 10. Bridges contributed. Paul, Ayton, like it was, they were cooking. Everybody was touching the ball. Fourth quarter, they're making the comeback. He was a part of it, but
right.
So was everyone else. And so I guess when it comes down to it, if I'm coaching them, I want him to have the ball. But how do they get it to where he has the ball and yet he's part of it instead of kind of all of it, if that makes sense?
Well, it's the same thing that on the Giannis side. How many did you like the shovel pass the other day? The
Giannis, beautiful.
Beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. He accepted the double team. It came after a spin similar to what Drew Holiday went and stole the ball away from Devin Booker. Like understanding – it's five-man basketball at all times, unless maybe somebody's back on the defensive end of the court,
sure.
They fell down. Okay, well, however many men you got with you, that's to utilize them to your whim at all moments. It keeps the defense honest. And first of all, do you have the ability to do it? That's one thing I think that we're seeing out of Giannis. He's finding some people at the three-point line. He's found Pat Connaughton a couple times. These are big shots, man. Okay, well, it doesn't happen unless that's Giannis. It's Giannis, so we're drawing people in. Well, it's Booker, so we're drawing people in. But see, Book on his spin right now, and this is nothing against because he is a top-shelf offensive threat. But he hasn't since that one game, I guess, was it Clippers or wherever, when he went for the triple-double?
Yeah, game one against Clippers.
Okay. Since then, when he has Chris Paul out there, he's looking to score. He's not looking to assist. You got to play with everybody. If on that spin you had demonstrated at a different time, in a different game, in this same series, that I kick this thing out if you come,
Holiday doesn't leave.
He doesn't leave. Yeah. Or if he does, he's apprehensive and you're at least making Booker think about it, and that's the game. Now we're playing the game. Well, he's taken one of the options out. He says, I'm a black hole. And he's not.
He's not.
He is not.
That's and he's their best option.
He is. But sometimes, and this is to Giannis's credit, what he has figured out is, and I said this to you, I just don't understand how Coach Bud doesn't understand how to use this kid.
Yeah.
Like, when Giannis gets in the open court and you build a wall and you're drawing people in, great, you're stopping him. He had got to the point where he's going regardless. That's kind of what Devin Booker is doing. Well, now when you do that to Giannis, he kicks it to somebody. Okay, now I'm half in, half out, like I talk about trying to guard Kobe when he had Shaq. I'm leaning towards Shaq trying to guard Kobe. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work too much. Well, now Giannis is taking it to the point where he said, here, you take the ball. I'll come set a screen on you. When I roll, that same pressure is put on the defense, and I don't even have a basketball. These are things that I think Booker has to pick up, and that's going to be on Monty. Monty has to figure out how to convince him. Jordan had to be convinced from Phil Jackson. Kobe had to be convinced from Phil Jackson. Such a scoring threat. Have the ability to use your teammate. Utilize them.
Yeah. I think it was during the fourth quarter. They're actually, the Bucks had led by as much as 14, I think. And they were, the Suns are coming back. I think Van Gundy even said it. It's like, well, they're not getting the ball to Booker. I'm like, it's down to five. The comeback's happening. But then you get a play like Booker off the screen, Holiday right there, turn, fire for three. You're like, okay, not that many people in the league can make that three. And
but I want
did.
That. But I want that shot.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's a contested, bodied up. You made it. Good for
good
you.
Good defense, better offense.
Yes. I think you make the most valid point, and I can remember hearing Van Gundy say it, because you and I, we did talk.
Yep.
As much as I don't want to admit it.
they were coming back, and Booker can be a part of it. It's not like he can't, but their first quarter was great when it was balanced. The fourth quarter was starting to get that balance. I certainly want him in the plays as my closer.
Yeah.
And he was. He hits that huge three, and like he's, again, I thought he was going to win the game or put them ahead before Holiday stripped him.
They are better when they play as a team.
Yeah.
Meaning when Bridges is knocking down shots, when CP3 is opportunistic, when you get Ayton involved, not in dropping him the ball in the post and then he makes a move, in a pick and roll and throw it to the rim and he catches it and finishes it. That's when they're deadly.
Yeah.
It's almost, and I take it back to Kobe again. When they learned the recipe, when Shaq left and they got in Gasol and they had those guys, through three and a half quarters, you guys, I'll chip in here and there. I got my 20, but I need 16 from you and 14 from you, and you guys hit shots and you guys hit shots. And then when it's closing time,
I'll end with 34 and all the big baskets.
Yep, down the stretch. Booker, that ratio is out of whack.
Yeah, because here's the stats from the game. And again, all this being said, Phoenix almost wins the game. I mean, it's not like they're broken.
No. Yeah.
It's 123-119. Booker goes 17 of 33. So he took 33 shots to get his 40. Nothing wrong with that.
That means he didn't go to the free throw line.
He didn't, and he only hit two threes out of his four. I mean, he didn't take a bunch. But then we go to, they got 21 from Paul, a 9 of 15. He'll take that with 11 assists and 20 from Ayton on 7 of 12. But the collective, one assist for Ayton, three for Booker, 11 for Paul, where conversely, the three for Milwaukee, Giannis led him with 32. He took 23 shots, so 10 less than Booker. Middleton took 23 shots. Holiday took 20. You've got balance amongst those three assists. Giannis 6, Middleton 5, Holiday 13. So they got scoring and assists from all three. Phoenix didn't get that same kind of balance in that tight of a game.
Phoenix is other, and the Bucks other. Phoenix's other, Cam Johnson. Was he like 2 for 3? And Connaughton. Is it Connaughton?
2 of 3. Pat Connaughton was 4 of 6.
Okay. you gotta find him a little bit more. Yeah. This guy, because that collapsing of the defense and kicking it out, like that wasn't Connaughton game. Actually, was a game before that. I think where he had like 14 or something like that.
Just, well, he had 14 in this game.
14. Yeah. Okay, so he got to the free throw line a couple times.
He had four threes.
Four threes. Those are big buckets, and you're just saying, okay, well, these guys are going to get theirs. We're going to limit everybody else. And, yeah, did you still almost win, get close? But it doesn't matter if you lose by 10 or if you lose by 2.
Yeah, and I feel like they get stuff from Crowder and Bridges and Johnson and Payne. And, I mean, it's right there. And the other thing, too, is when Milwaukee, if I say, and I'm doing air quotes, plays small, like they'll take Lopez out, they're really not that small. Giannis is so big. Middleton's bigger. Portis will come in. Mm-hmm. Connaughton's a little bit of a bigger guard, physical, and then Holiday's so physical. Like, that's not that small of a group.
No.
I feel like across the board, they're almost bigger than Phoenix. It's close, but it's been fun. It's been entertaining. It's been well played, and the last two games have given us – I mean, Milwaukee has made two of the biggest plays in the series, the block by Giannis and then the steal by Holiday.
Man, that block – so impressive.
Yeah.
Efficiency of motion.
Yeah.
No lag, just right to it. And then the steal, so much there, man. Going, not reaching. He went with two hands. Mm-hmm. And that means that he saw the basketball.
Yeah.
And he grabbed the basketball. And then the presence of mind, first of all, for Giannis to run hard, run and try to make something happen, and then the trust between those two to throw a pinpoint pass, and the finish was just big time. Just those big plays right now are more on the Bucks side. There's going to be a lot of pressure on them at home trying to close it out. This is a Phoenix team that was the best in the NBA in road wins, mm-hmm. so this is a – now, they have not been in this situation before.
Right.
We haven't really seen them with this type of pressure on them in the playoffs. So how do they respond? Does Chris Paul come out and try to give a 41-point masterpiece? Does Booker come out again and try to go for 50 this time? Do guys kind of push it? And how does Milwaukee take the energy that not in the arena, in the state.
In the district.
Oh, it has to be crazy, crazy.
And for them, I was impressed by both teams in the last game in the sense that the way Phoenix just blitzed Milwaukee early. I'm like, is this going to be over?
What was that,
37-21, something like first?
They had doubled them up, I think, once. Yeah,
pretty quickly. And you're like, man, I didn't know they were making everything. And I figured that'll drop a little bit. But both teams ended up shooting over 50%. And then for Milwaukee to be up 14 on the road, that could have gone to 20. Instead, here comes Phoenix. And it was just, again, maybe two more minutes in that game.
Yeah.
And they win. So, you know what showed up in Phoenix today? Excuse me, in Milwaukee today?
What?
A billboard downtown that reads, Go Suns.
What?
I don't know who paid for it. I don't know what the backstory is on that. But could you imagine that? Kings are playing the Sixers in the finals. And there's a billboard downtown that says, Go Philly.
What?
Yeah.
No, that thing's getting vandalized.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Unfortunately.
But yeah. How about that showing up there? Whoever paid for that in Phoenix, or maybe they're living, I don't know.
Listen, who's, okay, there's layers to this one. So you own the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get a phone call, or you get a text, you get an email, whatever. It says, we want to buy the billboard. How much? You send a price across. Don't you got to know what's going on it before you say yes? Yeah, you got to know what's going on that before you say yes. So what's that little at the bottom of that, what the green thing was, that say?
That's the who owns the company.
Yeah, Lamar, exactly. What's it say?
Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar, you are no longer part of our community,
sir.
I was
trying to see who – it's Warner Angle, looks like the sponsor that's on the billboard itself.
Listen. That's
it's a law firm.
Who cares?
Okay.
They should know the law. And the law says this is not something that goes on.
Hallam, Jackson, and Formack, I think, is the law firm. Warner Angle.
Okay. That's a thing.
You going to that law firm? In Milwaukee?
They won't be around long.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they're from Phoenix.
Are they from Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's okay.
They're really from Phoenix, though.
Yeah, well, that thing isn't – come on.
historically, you know, again, this game could, this series still could go seven. It's been entertaining. The games after 1, 2, and 3 have been close. I'm thinking perspective a lot on this too, DC. We've seen better finals teams. The finals have been great on itself, but you know, those great Warrior teams we just recently saw, the early 2000 Laker teams, maybe even some of LeBron's teams, the Heat. Hey, these are the two teams that are there. I could picture both not getting far next year. It just depends. It's a year-to-year deal. I don't see dynasties here.
You're not going out on a limb there. I don't think. I think Phoenix comes back. I definitely think the Milwaukee. Now, I will say this about Milwaukee.
They've been good for a couple years.
They have. I could see them back. I definitely see them. You know, they have that same kind of really good regular season. If Giannis makes that quantum leap, I know that Kobe had said this to Peja. He said, listen, if you guys would have won that championship, most likely there's a confidence that comes with that that people don't quite understand, and you probably would have reeled off a couple in a row, or you'd have been right there. It's a thing. Like, could that happen for Milwaukee? Yes. I do think that a healthy Brooklyn team restacked, because I think that they're going to get some free agents and they'll figure out some things. Like, they're not beating them. I don't think that Milwaukee's beating them.
Yeah, I think...
I don't think they would have beat them this year if Kyrie doesn't go down.
Yeah.
There you go. And matter of fact, they're toenail away. Like, get a pedicure already.
True.
Let's go.
That's true. I mean, we forget about how some of these things played out. So I agree with you on what you said, too, about Milwaukee. I mean, there's pressures, obviously, on both. I don't know if you're Phoenix, if that's more of a, you know, they're going to certainly be the desperate team. And I don't know if you play free when you're down 3-2, but – you just want to get this thing back to home, no matter if you have to kick in the last shot to win. In Milwaukee, can they win in Phoenix in Game 7? Sure. But you want to do this on your – you know, they've got – the trophy will be there. They'll have the things to rope off the court.
Yeah.
Like, that's all being talked about, being planned. You want to fulfill that. And that is additional pressure to do that at home.
So what do you think, you know, one or two things that Monty has to impart to his troops – when they get ready to don the court in Pfizer form?
I as the game went on, I honestly was ready to say, man, what's Chris Paul? I didn't think, but as the game went on, I felt he got better. Mm-hmm. So whatever was, I don't know, they're talking about his hand, with his holiday, whatever, he hasn't been as great, I don't think, but the game went on, he got better. Yeah. And so I feel like they need him to go. I think Booker will get there, and Ayton does his rebounding thing. Kind of feel like it's on Paul right now.
Yeah.
Like, if he's special, they probably win.
They have a chance. I just don't know that he can be special against Drew Holiday.
That might be it.
That might be the thing. I would say to them,
taking away from Giannis and from Middleton and from Holiday? Are they taking?
See, I don't think that you necessarily have to. I think that this has been so close. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I would say, like, okay, withstand the initial emotion that is bound to happen. It could go against them. Whatever it is, it's going to be for them. It's going to be whatever. Withstand that. Let's opportunistically stay super aggressive, but do not beat ourselves by turnovers, foul trouble. Keep a level head. Like, breathe. In this moment, be aggressive, because ultimately, if you take the crowd away from them in that moment, that game can turn weird quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said, when they come out, it's going to be nuts. And that might go against them. The shots might be falling, going crazy. Pump your brakes.
Yeah.
But I don't care if you're inbound in the basketball. If you can advance it and get an easy one, they're going to be really valuable in this game.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. I think fouls are important. Just where do you get them? Who gets them? Like yesterday or Saturday's game, remember early on, you know, it's 8-5, like, it's very early, and Drew Holiday got one of those, like, he was kind of away from the ball, reached in, he kind of put his arm up, and like, ooh, he can't get, when you're guarding Booker and Paul, you can't get one of those fouls, and then he got another one. Now, he did a good job of playing, they took him out, but he did a good job for the rest of the game, the rest of the half, playing with two fouls.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately ended with 4, where there's the game 4, where Booker, as soon as he got his fifth, I felt like that changed the flow of the game when Booker sat for 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, Teague, give him credit. He came in. There was a time where he got up into Chris, and I was like, oh, yeah. good job. You know, one thing that I've noticed about that is the ability to get up into Chris Paul takes away the flopping aspect when he's the aggressive one. Mm-hmm. When he's the aggressive one and then you retaliate, that aggressiveness can be read as he fouled me, I'm flopping, boop, foul. But when you're aggressive, you're making him escape. You're making him do something. In that moment, that flopping thing don't work. It don't look right to the referee, I don't think.
Yeah.
And it's put pressure on him. Whether he's I'm not using the I'm dinged up. This ain't that time. This guy almost had to replace his knee.
This is a marvel. I hope people are appreciating how ridiculously impressive that is from Giannis.
Okay. The picture is him with his knee bent backwards. Mm-hmm. How it's going.
Yeah.
Or how it started.
Into how it's
going.
Then
if he has a trophy at the end,
in weeks apart.
Like, what, 3 weeks?
That was game three?
Probably less than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe about that, because we've had like 3 or 4 days in between and different stuff before finals started and in between games when they travel.
Yeah. But I even remember before game one, there was word, Giannis is game time. He's not playing. They're just putting that. He's not playing.
Yeah.
He's playing. He's starting. And he's going for 40.
Were you here then?
No, I wasn't.
It was Jay.
Yeah.
Because we're both going back and forth. And he happened to be talking. And I'm looking up at the TV. And then he kind of threw it to me. And I didn't say anything. I was like, hold up. Oh, yeah. Because the movements looked
normal.
I was like, did he? What is that? It was really, I was like to Jay immediately. I'm like, he's playing.
Yeah. He's going to be good.
Oh, your boy look fine.
Yeah. Oof. It's been fun. Game six is tomorrow. Bucks, one win away from a title. The Suns, one more win, sends it back home. To me, that's what I said before. I want more games, but I want whoever. I mean, it'd be nice. It's nice to win on your home court. So if the Bucks can do it, if it goes seven, then that's going to be quite a party if Phoenix does it there. But if they go seven and then Milwaukee wins, I mean, still counts, but it's like, yeah.
That plane ride got to be off the hook side. You got cars waiting.
Yep.
Because everybody's sloppy.
All right, we got a final hour coming up for today. Still to come in this last hour, we'll talk about that A's and Angels series that begins tonight. Chris has got a Space Jam 2 review, also the crossover. But next, it's 5 on it. That's coming your way next right here on KHDK.